11th shloka, 9th chapter. Avajananti mam mudha.
Avajananti mam mudha.
Manushyam tanum ashritam.
Manushyam tanum ashritam.
Param bhava majananto.
Param bhava majananto.
Mama bhuta maheshwaram.
Mama bhuta maheshwaram.
Avajananti mam mudha. Krishna says in this different shlokas, from 11th shloka till 25th shloka, Krishna describes who are the different types of worshippers of Lord Krishna. In the first three shlokas, Krishna described about the importance of knowledge of pure bhakti. And from 4th shloka till 10th shloka, Krishna spoke how different energies of Krishna function to maintain this world, to create this material realm. Okay. Now from 11th to 25th shlokas, Krishna describes various worshippers. The same structure we can see in 7th chapter also. 7th chapter of Gita also, first two shlokas described about hearing about Krishna. Then 4 to 7, 12th and 12th shlokas described Krishna's energies. Rasoham apsukauntaya, all the shlokas. Then third section of the chapter 7, that described Krishna's all-pervasiveness. So we will see somewhat similar structure now also. That all-pervasiveness is seen from 16th sloka to 19th sloka in the 9th chapter. So now we will discuss about the different types of worshippers in the 11th sloka. Avajananti mam mudha. Avajananti means deriding the Lord, disrespecting the Lord. Mudha means foolish people disrespect Krishna. Okay. Manushim tanum ashritam. When do they disrespect Krishna? When Krishna descends into this material world as a human being, when he takes up the form of Krishna or Rama as human beings, fools deride them. Okay. Param bhava majananto. They do not understand the param bhava, the transcendental nature of Krishna. Mama Bhuta Maheshwaram, they cannot understand that Krishna is the Maha Ishwara, the supreme controller and creator of all the living entities within the entire universe. Foolish people deride Krishna whenever he descends in a human form in this world. That's the simple meaning of the shloka. Okay. Prabhupada writes in the purport that right in the previous shloka, Krishna said, Mayadhyakshena prakritihi suyate sacharacharam. Only under the superintendence of Krishna, this entire material nature is manifesting so many things in this world, creating and destroying. So he is the boss, he is the superintendent of the material nature itself. But when that Supreme Lord descends into this material world as a human being, foolish people cannot understand him properly. Okay. There are many Ishwaras, controllers, and one appears greater than other. In the ordinary management of affairs in the material world, we find some official or director, and above him there is a secretary, and above him a minister, and above him there is a president. Each of them is a controller, but one is controlled by another. So, like that, if you go in the hierarchy of some state management or a company management, you will find a top person. Similarly, when you see the hierarchy of the universal management, who is the top person? Krishna. Yeah, adhyakshena prakriti. Fine. So, Krishna is the supreme controller. That's why Krishna is described as Ishwaraha Paramaha Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. In the Brahma Samhita, Krishna is described as the supreme controller. There are many controllers, undoubtedly, both in the material and spiritual world, but Krishna is the supreme controller. He has a spiritual body. Despite the transcendental qualities of Krishna's body, its full bliss and knowledge, there are many so-called scholars and commentators who deride Krishna as an ordinary man. Oh, he is stealing butter. How can you believe that he is God? He is getting bound by his mother, Yashoda, in Damodar Leela. How can you believe that he is God? So, without understanding the greatness of Krishna as he described in the initial cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, one cannot actually understand the sweet pastimes of Krishna in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. So one needs to understand the greatness of Krishna and become equipped with the philosophy of Krishna consciousness by studying the scriptures nicely before one could understand the pastimes of Krishna. The scholar may be born an extraordinary man due to his previous good work, but this conception of Sri Krishna is due to a poor fund of knowledge. Therefore, he is called Mudha. Being a scholar is not a mandatory requirement to understand Krishna, or it is not a sufficient qualification to know Krishna. Scholarship, if it is not accompanied with devotion, that scholarship only will induce pride in that scholar. A greatest scholar could be the greatest fool if he has no devotion to God. The foolish consider Krishna an ordinary human being because they do not know the confidential activities of the Supreme Lord and his different energies. Krishna's body is a symbol of complete knowledge and bliss, that he is the proprietor of everything that be and he can award liberation to anyone. Further, Prabhupada writes, if a soul surrendered to Krishna can get out of the influence of material energy, then how can the Supreme Lord, who conducts the creation, maintenance and annihilation of the whole cosmic nature, have a material body like us? By worshipping Krishna, you can get liberation from this material world. But when he takes up a human form in this world, how can he be entangled? The person whom you worship will cause you liberation, and he himself is bound like an ordinary human being? It's all illogical to say like that. There are many controversies between impersonalists and the personalists about the Lord's appearance as a human being. So Prabhupada gives many other details. And everybody is the embodiment of the temple, embodiment or the temple of the Supreme Lord. So as one offers respect to the temple of the Lord, he should similarly properly respect each and every body in which Paramatma dwells. So within every body there is Paramatma. That is like temple of the Lord. We need to respect people. So if a ordinary person's body has to be respected because it is temple of the Supreme Lord, then why can't we respect the Supreme Lord himself when he comes in a human form? So in this way, we need to understand that even when the Supreme Lord takes the form of a deity in a temple, we respect him and we worship him. When the Supreme Lord personally comes as a human being, some people deride him. Duryodhan did not consider Krishna God. Shishupal did not consider. Kamsa did not consider. Jarasandha did not consider. So there are so many demoniac people who directly saw Krishna, but still they did not keep any trust in Krishna. They did not believe that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead out of their foolishness. So that's why Krishna says, Avajananti mam modha manushim tanum ashrita. Fools deride me when I come in human form. But even if the Lord appears in a human form, his pure devotees always worship him with love and affection. And what is the fate of such foolish people? Krishna describes in the 12th shloka. He says, Moghasha
Mogha Karmano
Mogha Jnana Vichetasaha Rakshasim Asurim Chaiva Prakritim Mohinim Shritaha Moghasha Mogha Karmano. Moghasha means they are baffled in their hopes. Asha means hope. Moghasha, they are baffled in their hopes of attaining the Lord's abode or Salokya Mukti. They will not get liberation. If they are devotees, but they have a tendency to consider the Lord ordinary when he comes as human being, then such people cannot get liberation. They cannot attain the spiritual world. There are some people like Jarasandha, they worship Brahminical culture. They worship even Vishnu also. But when Krishna comes in a human form, they cannot acknowledge him. Okay? So they see the God only in the altar. But when that same God manifests as a human being and interacts with you face to face, they deride him. They consider him ordinary. So if they happen to be bhaktas, but still they consider the Supreme Lord's human form to be ordinary, then they will not get Vaikuntha. They will not get Salokya Mukti. Moghasha. All their hopes are baffled. Mogha Karmano. If they are karmis and they are considering Krishna to be ordinary, then these karmis are baffled in their fruitive activities. They will not attain heavenly planets. Okay. Next. Mogha Jnana. If people are jnanis, if those people who are considering Krishna to be ordinary, they happen to be jnanis, then they will not attain the result of cultivating knowledge, which is liberation. They will not attain liberation. If bhaktas consider Krishna to be ordinary, they will not attain spiritual world. If the karmis do not consider Krishna ordinary, they will not attain the result of their fruitive activities, which is entering heaven. And if jnanis deride Krishna, Krishna's human form as ordinary, then they will not attain the result of their cultivating of knowledge, which is liberation. Vichetasaha, all of them are deluded by Maya, and they have lost discriminating power by the sin of rejecting me. Okay. And further Krishna says in the next two lines, Rakshasim Asurim Chaiva, they are attracted by demoniac and atheistic views. Prakritim Mohinim Shritaha, having taken shelter of the illusory energy of the Lord. They become demoniac in nature. They get attracted to atheistic views. Rakshasim Asurim Chaiva, Prakritim Mohinim Shritaha. They have taken shelter of Maya. This is the fate of foolish people who considered Krishna's form as ordinary. Prabhupada writes in the purport, there are many devotees who assume themselves to be in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, but at heart they do not accept the Lord Krishna as the absolute truth. For them, the fruit of devotional service, which is going back to Godhead, is never tasted. So even within devotees also, practitioners also, sometimes there is lack of faith. Sometimes there is some doubt in Krishna. Oh, how can Krishna do Rasa Leela? They are devotees. They have some appreciation for Krishna. But certain activities of Krishna, they get bewildered. So if you have so much faith on the person, whether you understand the person's activity, every activity or not, you believe that he must have done something good. Although I do not have the ability to understand every activity of the Supreme Lord, but I trust him that whatever he does is divine. That is faith. You try to understand with your logic and reasoning and intelligence to the degree it is possible, but please understand that you cannot understand everything about God. If you can understand everything about God, you become God. But you are not God. God is all powerful. Okay? Means you have intellectually surpassed God. So you should have some faith. You should have some understanding of Krishna. And you should have faith and trust that whatever Krishna does is divine. But if you worship him for some activities, if you hate him or disrespect him for some other activities, then what is your faith? So even amongst devotees also, there are people who lack that pure faith. They get bewildered by certain activities done by Krishna. You may have your favorite pastimes of Krishna, that's fine. But you cannot deride certain activities that Krishna does. Okay, one should have respect. So that's why Prabhupada says, similarly, those who are engaged in fruitive activities, okay, all this we have seen. There are people who mock Krishna, they are understood to be demoniac and atheistic. Some people say, okay, Krishna did Rasa Leela, I will also do some illicit affairs with other people in this world. So that is also another perverted way of leading life. You're imitating God, you're hating God. But understand everything that God does is divine, is transcendental, is beyond the material realm. Whether you understand it completely or not, that doesn't make his activity non-divine or mundane. So your understanding is limited. Your ability to understand things is limited. How could Krishna penetrate through the layers of the universe and enter the causal ocean and meet Mahavishnu? These are all fake tales. If you think like that, that's your problem. But if you have faith in Krishna, you will believe. Oh, whatever is mentioned in Krishna book, you can. So for that, initially you have to apply all your logic and reasoning and understand intellectually the Gita, Gita and the basics of Bhagavatam, then you can trust the pastimes of Krishna. If you directly enter the pastimes only without having the background of philosophy of Krishna, then sometimes such readers of pastimes, they may misunderstand or they may consider them to be ordinary, or they may even try to imitate also. So people jeer at Krishna because they are envious of the Lord. Their destiny is certainly to take birth after birth in the species of atheistic and demoniac life. Perpetually their real knowledge will remain under illusion, delusion, and gradually they will regress to the darkest region of creation. 13th sloka. So in the 11th and 12th slokas, Krishna described the nature and fate of foolish people and impersonalists who deride Krishna when he descends in a human form. Okay? So these are all foolish people and some are impersonalists also. 13th sloka. 13th and 14th slokas, Krishna describes about Mahatmas who constantly worship Krishna. So while 11th and 12th slokas are describing about foolish people who do not worship Krishna, 13th and 14th slokas are describing about Mahatmas or Ananya Bhaktas who worship Krishna exclusively, constantly with devotion. Okay. Mahatmanastu mam partham.
Mahatmanastu mam partham.
Daivim prakritim ashritah.
Daivim prakritim ashritah.
Bhajantyananya manaso.
Bhajantyananya manaso.
Gnatva bhutadimavyayam.
Gnatva bhutadimavyayam.
Mahatmanastu mam partham. Daivim prakritim ashritah. Krishna says that on the other hand, in contrast to these foolish people and impersonalistic people, there are pure devotees, Ananya Bhaktas, Mahatmas, great souls, who have taken shelter of Daivi Prakriti. There is material Prakriti, this material nature that causes entanglement of conditioned souls. There is spiritual Prakriti, the internal potency of the Lord, that uplifts the consciousness of people and reinstates them in their loving service, in their eternal constitutional position in the spiritual world. Okay. Mahatmanastu mam partha, that Mahatmas worship Krishna only, by taking shelter of Daivim Prakriti. Daivim Prakriti Mashritaha. And Bhajanti Ananya Manasaha. Bhajanti means they worship Krishna. Ananya Manasaha. They will not have any other thoughts in their hearts. Okay, Ananya Manasaha. Their minds are filled with desires to worship Krishna alone, render service to Krishna alone. They don't want anything else. Okay, Ananya Manasaha. With undeviated mind, without any distractions, with full determination, they worship Krishna. Knatva bhutadi mavyayam. They have the right understanding that Krishna is bhutadi, the origin of all living entities. Avyaya, inexhaustible. Although he is the origin of all creations, he himself is inexhaustible. Fine. So, even when Krishna descends in the form of a human being in this world, still they understand Krishna to be the Supreme Lord. The Pandavas, Akrura, Uddhava, there are so many exalted devotees who have full understanding, perfect understanding that Krishna is God. Although Krishna manifests himself as a human being. Okay? That's the glory of these devotees. Okay, but Shishupala, Dantavakra, Vidhurata, Jarasandha, Duryodhan, Dushyasana, all these people, they did not understand Krishna to be God. Okay? Despite seeing his prowess. Okay? And on the other hand, Vrajavasis also never consider Krishna to be God despite seeing their prowess. Okay? But Vrajavasis do not consider Krishna God out of their pure love and affection for Krishna. But demoniac people and atheistic people like Duryodhan and Shishupal, etc., they do not consider Krishna God out of their atheism, envy, arrogance, pride, and materialistic mentality. Okay. But there are devotees who have reverence for Krishna, like Pandavas, Akrura, all these people, they worship Krishna. 13th sloka. The first sign of the Mahatma is that he is already situated in the divine nature. He surrenders unto the Supreme Lord. He is freed from the control of material nature. He is under the guidance of the spiritual nature called Daivi Prakriti, the divine nature. The Mahatma does not divert his attention to anything outside Krishna, because he knows perfectly well that Krishna is the original Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. There is no doubt about it. Such a Mahatma or a great soul develops through association with other Mahatmas. How to become Mahatma? Go and associate with Mahatmas. Who is a Mahatma? One who has taken shelter of the spiritual nature of Krishna. Okay. One who worships Krishna. Bhajanti ananya manasa. One who worships Krishna without any distractions or deviations is the real Mahatma. According to Krishna. I am not saying this. Krishna is saying this. So, someone who does some philanthropy, someone who does some great thing, you may consider them Mahatma out of sentiment. But the real import of being a Mahatma is what Krishna speaks here in Bhagavad Gita. Mahatmanastu mam partha bhajanti ananya manasa. A Mahatma is defined by Krishna as a person who worships Krishna without any deviation by taking shelter of his divine nature. That is Daivim Prakriti Mashritaha. Mahatmanastu mam partha Daivim Prakriti Mashritaha bhajanti ananya manaso. And he has complete knowledge that Krishna is the origin of everything and he is inexhaustible. Gnatva bhutadi mavyayam. Such people are called Mahatmas. Okay. You get the right definition from the right source. Bhagavad Gita defines who is a Mahatma. Okay. And as a Mahatma, some people may consider generic term and apply it to anyone who may have done little good work. But the highest definition of Mahatma is given here in Bhagavad Gita. Okay. And Prabhupada writes, Mahatma does not divert his attention to anything outside Krishna. And how can one become Mahatma? By associating with other Mahatmas, other devotees. Next, 14th sloka. Satatam kirtayanto maam.
Satatam kirtayanto maam.
Yatantascha
dridhavratah.
Namasyantascha maam bhaktyam.
Namasyantascha maam
bhaktyam. Nityayukta upasate.
Nityayukta upasate.
Satatam kirtayanto maam. Such Mahatmas, what do? Satatam, always. Kirtayanto, they glorify Krishna, they chant his holy names, they describe his pastimes. Mam, Krishna very, very clearly says, Mam, me, they glorify me. Satatam kirtayanto mam. Second point. Yatantascha dridhavrataha. They endeavor in their attempts to perform devotional service with great determination. Dridhavrata means having great determination. Okay. Then, third line. Namasyantascha mam bhaktya. With bhakti, they do namaskar of Krishna. They bow down in front of Krishna. They offer obeisances to Krishna. They offer heartfelt respects and prayers to Krishna with all devotion. Bhaktya. Namasyantascha mam bhaktya. Nityayukta upasate. Nityayukta means they are constantly engaged in this upasana, in this worship of Krishna. First line Krishna said satatam. Last line Krishna says, Nityam. Satatam, Nityam, both are same. Always. So, Krishna is emphasizing on continuous practice of bhakti, not intermittent practice of bhakti. A devotee is one who constantly practices Krishna consciousness. Not once in a while, once in a week, once in a month. Every day. Every day he practices Krishna consciousness. The flavor of the service, particular service that a person renders may be different according to time, place, circumstances, but they are constantly engaged in Krishna seva. Okay. So, satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridhavratah. So, this is the nature of ananya bhaktas. What is described in the 13th and 14th slokas is the nature of ananya bhaktas. They take shelter of Devi Prakriti. They know Krishna as inexhaustible and the Supreme Lord. They worship Krishna without any deviations in the mind. And they do it very constantly. And they have full determination in this worship. They bow down to Krishna with full devotion. So these are the qualities of Mahatmas. Fine. So, Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service. Hearing, chanting, remembering. These are various activities. And they are of different rasas also. Krishna, somebody may worship Krishna in the mood of a friend, Some people may worship Krishna in the mode of a servant. Some people worship Krishna like a loving father or mother. There is Vatsalya Rasa, there is Dasya Rasa, there is Sakhya Rasa, there is Madhurya Rasa. And these Mahatmas are above the rules and regulations of this material world. They are not affected by the material modes. So Krishna explained about pure devotees in the last two shlokas. And Krishna explained about impersonalists or fools or atheists in the previous two verses. 11 and 12 about fools who do not worship Krishna, who deride Krishna. 13 and 14 about pure devotees. Now, from 15th shloka onwards, Krishna describes about some people who worship Krishna but in different flavors. Not the flavor that is mentioned in 13th and 14th shlokas. Okay? Their conception of Krishna is little different. Okay? They are jnanis. There are jnanis who worship Krishna by cultivating knowledge, and those jnanis are three types. We have seen about ananya bhaktas. Now we will see about jnanis. So Krishna elaborates on this topic of ananya bhakti from the 29th shloka of this chapter again. 29 to 34 of 9th chapter will further describe ananya bhakti. Krishna just briefly described in two shlokas now. And in the previous chapter 8.14 also he described about ananya bhakti. And in 7th chapter also some verses are there. So now 9th chapter 13 and 14 are describing ananya bhakti. And 29 to 34 also will more elaborately describe ananya bhakti. And 10th chapter, first 11 verses are about ananya bhaktas only. So now Krishna speaks about some jnanis who worship Krishna. And there are of three types. Jnana yajnena chapyanye.
Jnana yajnena chapyanye.
Yajanto mam upasate.
Yajanto mam upasate.
Ekatvena prathakvena.
Ekatvena prathakvena.
Bahudha vishvato mukham.
Bahudha vishvato mukham.
Jnana yajnena chapyanye. Okay. There are some people who perform worship of Krishna through jnana yajna. Jnana is knowledge. Yajna is sacrifice. Fine. Jnana yajna means the sacrifice of cultivating knowledge. So any activity can be called yajna, as we have discussed in the 4th chapter of Gita. So any activity that is intended to generate certain result is called yajna. Yajna is not only fire sacrifice. Taking ghee and pouring in fire, that is the only yajna, not like that. Any endeavor that you do intending to get some result, that is called yajna. So cultivating jnana is also considered yajna. So that is jnana yajna. So jnana yajnena chapyanya yajanto mam upasate. Krishna says people worship me through jnana yajna. And they are of three types. Who are they? Number one, ekatvena. Ekatvena. Number two, prathakvena. Number three, Vishvato Mukham. Bahudha Vishvato Mukham. Let's see the first type of worshippers. Ekatvena. Means they worship Krishna in oneness. They think themselves also as gods. Their worship is also called Ahangharopasana. Some jnanis worship God with an intention to become God or considering themselves God. It's oneness. You and me are one. We both are one. I worship you, we both are one. So that is their conception. So in the 12th chapter, first 5 shlokas elaborate on these kinds of worshippers. Ekatvena people, Krishna just mentioned one line now. Not even one line, half line now. In this 9th chapter. In the 12th chapter, first 5 shlokas he dedicates to these Ekatvena worshippers. When we come to 12th chapter, you remember this and then we are going to elaborate it later. Now let's go with the flow as presented by Krishna. Ekatvena worshippers are those who worship the Lord in oneness, considering themselves to be God. Their upasana or their worship is called Ahangharopasana. Fine? This much you know at this point. Second category of people are Prathakvena. While the Ekatvena worshippers worship the Lord in oneness, Prathakvena people worship the Lord in diversity. Means they worship so many forms of the Lord. Okay? Demigod worshippers. To be very specific, demigod worshippers are Prathakvena worshippers. Fine? And their worship is called Pratikopasana. you are getting the terminologies right. Everything is there in Gita Subodhani. You can just go through it. Okay, I have put everything in a table. Ekatvena is Ahangaropasana, Prathakvena is Pratikopasana. So, Pratika, this Prathakvena people, they worship Krishna in diversity and they worship the Lord in many forms. So, demigod worshippers are also of different types. Some people worship demigods as representatives of the Lord. They have understanding. Oh, this is a demigod, this is Supreme Lord. So, the demigod is a universal administrator. He is a servant of God. He is appointed by God to take charge of certain affairs of this material universe. Just like Brahmaji handles creation department, Shiva handles destruction department, Indra handles rain department, Varuna handles all the water bodies, Agni handles fire department, Yamaras handles criminal department. Like that, so many demigods are there who are taking care of different affairs of the universe. They are not the supreme gods. They are a part of the universal management headed by the Supreme Lord, who is Krishna. Fine? So, but they worship so many demigods. Some worshippers, some gnanis worship so many demigods. So their worship is called Pratikopasana. And Krishna will elaborate on these kinds of gnanis in 9th chapter only, sloka number 20 to 25. Okay, we'll discuss it very immediately now. Now, third type of worshippers are Vishvatomukham. Vishvatomukham means they worship the Lord in the universal form. They are universe worshippers. Okay. They think that Krishna is everything. Oh, this tree is God. That building is God. This floor is God, this flower is God, these trees are God, these plants are God, that sky is God, this mountain is God. They are nature worshippers. Okay? Vishvatomukham. So, they think that Krishna is everything. 9th chapter, 16th sloka till 19th sloka elaborate on this Vishvatomukham worshippers. Fine? So, Krishna spoke about Kevala Bhaktas in slokas number 13 and 14. And Krishna spoke about foolish people are atheists or impersonalists in sloka number 11 and 12. And in 15th sloka, Krishna spoke about three kinds of jnanis. First kind is ekatvena worshippers who worship the Lord in oneness, considering themselves to be God. Second, prathakvena worshippers who worship the Lord as various demigods. So many gods are there. They worship the Lord in diversity. Then third type are vishvatomukham. They worship the Lord as this universe. They consider the universe to be God and they think everything within the universe as God. Okay? Mm. 16th sloka. From 16th sloka till 19th sloka, Krishna is elaborating on universal form worshippers. Vishvato Mukham worshippers. They are doing Vishwarupa Upasana. Ekatvena people do Ahangharopasana. Prathakvena people do Pratikopasana and Vishvatomukham people will do Vishwarupa Upasana. The terminologies are clear. Mm. Even if you don't know all these terminologies, it's okay. Just consider these three categories in whichever language you are comfortable with. Okay. 16th sloka. 16, 17, 18, 19. These four verses are elaborating what? Vishwarupa worshippers. 16th sloka. Aham kratur aham yajnaham.
Aham kratur aham yajnaham.
Swadhaham aham aushadhim.
Swadhaham aham aushadhim.
Mantroham aham evajyam.
Mantroham aham evajyam.
Aham agnir aham hutam.
Aham agnir aham hutam.
Okay. Krishna says here. This is the conception of Vishwarupa worshippers. This is somewhat similar to 4th chapter 24th verse also. What did we read in 4.24? Anyone remembers?
4.24.
Brahmarpanam, Brahma Havir, Brahma Agnav, Brahmanahutam, Brahmaivatena Gantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhina. In that sloka, everything is considered Brahman, spiritual. So, in that, a situation of sacrifice was considered. The oblations in the sacrifice are spiritual. The sacrificial fire is spiritual. The instruments with which you are doing sacrifice is spiritual. The priest is spiritual. And the result of the sacrifice is spiritual. Like that we have seen various elements of the sacrifice considering to be super spiritual. Now that Brahma is replaced by Aham in this sloka. Aham Kratur. So Krishna says, I am the ritual mentioned in the scriptures. Aham Yajna. I am the sacrifice, right? Sacrifice itself. Now, the acharyas give a slight difference between kratu and yajna. Sometimes kratu is also called yajna. Sometimes yajna is also called kratu. Yajna literally is sacrifice. Kratu literally is ritual. But a sacrifice can be a ritual and a ritual can be a sacrifice also. But what is the specific technical difference as given by acharyas? Kratu means the rituals mentioned in Shruti scriptures. Yajna means the sacrifices mentioned in the Smriti scriptures. Fine? So, aham kratur, aham yajna. Some people may do rituals mentioned in the Shruti scriptures. Some people may do sacrifices mentioned in the Smriti scriptures. Both are Krishna only. Aham kratur, aham yajna. This is the conception of Vishwarupa Upaskas. Because they consider everything to be Krishna, right? Next, Swadha. Swadha aham means I am Swadha. Swadha means oblation into the sacrifice. Aushadham, I am the healing herb, Krishna says. Mantroham aham evajyam. Mantra is also Krishna. Ajyam means the ghee or the melted butter that you put in the sacrifice, that is also Krishna. Next, aham agnir. Krishna is the fire also, sacrificial fire also. Aham hutam. Krishna is the whole act of offering also. So, like that, various elements of the sacrifice are compared to Krishna. The meaning is very simple. Aham kratur, aham yajna, next is swadhaham, aushadham, aham aushadham, mantroham, aham evajyam, aham agnir, aham hutam. Aham word comes 8 times in this sloka. And 8 elements of the sacrifice are mentioned here. So, all these are Krishna. Okay? In the understanding of Vishwarupa Upasakas, which is correct. Ultimately, Krishna is everything. Okay, in one sense. So, this is about karmakandic Vedic sacrifices. Now, 17th shloka. Pita hamasya jagato,
pita hamasya jagato,
mata dhata pita maham,
mata dhata pita maham,
vedyam pavitra momkara,
vedyam pavitra momkara,
riksa mayajurevacha,
riksa mayajurevacha,
pita hamasya jagato. Okay, I am the father of entire universe. Mata, I am the mother of the entire universe. Dhata, the maintainer of the entire universe. Pitahamasya jagato mata dhata pitamaha. Pitamaha is the grandfather of the father of the universe, the grandsire of the universe, the great grandfather, the father of that father also. Krishna is the father of Brahma also. So your greatest, oldest ancestor is the grandsire, pitamaha. Okay? The father of the father of the father of the father of your father. So, our father has a father and their father has another father. Like that, everybody connects to Brahma. And Brahma is the supreme father there. And his father is Vishnu. And his father is Krishna. And his source is Krishna. So, pitahamasya jagato mata dhata pitamaha. Krishna is pita, Krishna is mata, Krishna is dhata, Krishna is pitamaha. Fine. Vedyam pavitra momkara. In all sacrificial performances and other rituals, you utter the syllable Om. That is Krishna. Okay. Vidyam pavitram omkaraha ruksama yajurevacha. And Krishna is also the Rigveda, Samaveda and Yajurveda. And Krishna continues to describe, okay, how he is everything. Gatir bharta prabhus sakshi.
Gatir bharta prabhus sakshi.
Nivasaha saranam suhrit.
Nivasaha saranam suhrit.
Prabhavaha pralayasthanam.
Prabhavaha pralayasthanam.
Nidhanam bijam avyayam.
Nidhanam bijam avyayam.
Gatir bharta. Gati is Krishna, is the goal, the destination. Bharta is one who bears, the sustainer. Gatir bharta prabhu, he is the master. Sakshi, he is the witness of everything. Gatir bharta prabhu sakshi. Nivasam, he is the supreme residence. Sharanam, he is the supreme shelter. Suhrit, he is the dearest friend of everyone. Next, prabhavaha pralayaha sthanam. Prabhava means he is the creation. Pralaya, he is the destruction. Sthanam, he is the maintenance also. Nidhanam bijam avyayam, he is the nidhana, he is the resting place. And bijam, he is the eternal seed of everything. Eternal seed means he is the indestructible cause of everything. Okay, avyayam means indestructible. Okay, he is the cause of everything. Seed causes the plant, right? Similarly, when Krishna is described to be Bija or seed, he is the seed of all existences. Everything in this world can exist only because of Krishna. Is it clear? Next, Krishna continues. Tapamyaham aham varsham.
Tapamyaham aham varsham.
Nigrihanam yutsrujam yacham.
Nigrihanam yutsrujam
yacham. Amritam chaiva mrityuscham.
Amritam chaiva mrityuscham.
Sadasatyaham arjunam.
Sadasatyaham arjunam.
Tapami aham aham varsham. He is the tapa, means the heat. Varsham, he is the rain also. Okay, he is heat, he is rain. Nigrihanami utsrujamicha. He will send that rain and he will withhold that rain also. Nigrihanami utsrujami refers to the previous word varsham. Krishna sends that rain and he withholds that rain also. During the summer, Krishna will not send the rain, he will withhold the rain. During the monsoon, he will send the rain. Indra is thinking that I am the doer of all these things, but it is Krishna who is doing everything. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Amritam chaiva mrityuscha. He is Amrita. Amrita is immortality, nectar. And mrityuscha. Mrity means death. He is death also, he is immortality also. Then, sadasat chaham arjuna. He is both sat and asat. He is both matter and spirit. Okay. Sat is matter. Sat is spirit and asat is matter. Okay. He is subtle and gross. Everything is Krishna. He is the cause of all causes. Actually, any living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. Okay. And Prabhupada gives certain examples. For example, if there is a possibility of going to the top of a building by the help of an elevator, why should one go by staircase, step by step? Everything is resting on Krishna's energy. Therefore, without Krishna's shelter, nothing can exist. Krishna is the supreme shelter, supreme ruler, because everything belongs to him and everything exists in his energy. Krishna, being situated in everyone's heart, is the supreme witness. Okay. So these are various aspects of Krishna. Okay. We'll conclude now. We completed that section.
He's bringing different one.
Yeah. We are done with this section. We'll continue with another section.
Sunlight is also coming again.
Yes. Here only. At time, right time we have completed.